Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate, creative, and your dedicated digital sister. Hi, so welcome to today's podcast, and I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Today's subject is actually on learning to love Black men and healing trauma. I thought as a womanist, I talked a bit about how my view of my position as a woman in a community, but also how connecting to feminism and my ancestry and my own empowerment, that is from a more holistic perspective. And for me, that also includes loving and caring for the community, which also includes Black men. We cannot learn to love ourselves unless we also learn to love the parts that created us. And even though I believe in the transitional experience of learning to love ourselves, which does include anger, which does include hate sometimes, like all these darker emotions that are basically needed in order for you then to bloom beyond that. I'm always a believer in all emotions. I think all emotions are valid. And I believe that it's more about understanding the purposes of certain emotions and moving through that space. Talking about learning to love Black men and connecting it with healing trauma, I think that is something that is quite important from my own experience growing up and being raised mostly in a home of Black women. Trauma was a big part of my experience as a Black woman, and most of my trauma, unfortunately, came from Black men. That is where the greatest source of the things that have hurt me have been, which is also quite interesting because obviously as somebody who talks about Pan-Africanism, who talks about anti-racism and social awareness, there's this idea of focusing on the bigger structural problems, which are important. The structure, the systems that sustain our oppression are important, but how they affect us physically, how they affect us in our communities, how they affect us close by is just as important, meaning maybe, yes, we do live in a system of white supremacy. Maybe, yes, we do live in a system of misogyny. But in your everyday life, it's probably not going to be that direct system affecting you, even though the things that happen in your house are a link towards that bigger system. The things that actually reach you, by the time they reach you, are going to be the people closest to you, which are going to be the people who hurt you the most. So when I think about my own growing up, most of my trauma has come from Black men or women that have also been traumatized by Black men. And interestingly, though, like we also don't always talk about the trauma that Black women cause Black men in order for them to also become traumatic people and trauma-inducing people. And that was actually a very humbling acknowledgement for me to go through, because it was quite safe and quite beneficial at some point just to hate on Black men and just to feel that they were a source of just pain, and the idea of learning to love them felt almost impossible. And it was also quite easy not to take that approach because I grew up in a white country. For those of you who don't know, I am a Ugandan, but I was mostly raised in Europe, specifically Denmark, which is a very, very white country. And I moved there with my mom and sisters. So my circle of Blackness or Black males decreased tremendously. And there was a sort of safety in that because, like, nobody, of course, could hurt me now that I actually was mostly surrounded by either white people or women in my life, which I trusted. So in order to actually love myself holistically, in order to love women holistically, my community holistically, you can't do that and then have a hate for one group of your community. And for me, like, the next step to love is understanding. You don't always have to love things, but if you just make an effort to understand why they are the way they are, it makes it a bit easier then to move into love, or at least a neutral state that is not going to affect you, but also is not going to affect the people that anger or that fear or that shame is directed towards. And it didn't also help having all that trauma from black men, like specifically the fact that I grew up in a house that was violent, very, very violent, and particularly from my dad, who, even though he was a quote-unquote okay dad, like he tried to provide for the family, he worked a lot, he was like an awful husband or partner to my mom, and he was very violent. And that was my dad, the person who created me, who I'm a part of. And he could never really control his anger, his jealousy, his dark emotions. It wasn't just that my dad was a monster and my mom was an angel, which is quite maybe like a play out on how when we move into hating men, it becomes quite comfortable for us to feel like that we are perfect and harmless and victims, and they're just perpetrators and evil and predatorial. And that's like a simplification, but I would never, again, like even talking about it, it's not something I would judge, but it's something I would encourage awareness upon. So it was quite natural for me growing up in that atmosphere and then experiencing a peaceful home once my dad was no longer in the picture, and realizing we could actually live in a life that was peaceful, that was harmonious, in a life where we could care for each other and where we were safe with each other. And all we had to do was distance ourselves or no longer have my father included in the picture. And it became easy for me, of course, to feel safer with women, with my family, with my siblings, my sisters. And again, also easy to sustain that hate towards black men, even though growing up, especially because I was a Christian, it wasn't something I would like proclaim to having, but looking back at it, that is what it was. And like I mentioned before, it's quite hard to hate something that is needed to create you without also hating yourself or certain aspects of yourself. So the weird thing, however, is that I never really hated my dad. To this day, I do not hate my dad. I, of all the siblings, I am most like my dad, and I loved my dad growing up. He was an amazing man. I just hated what he did to our family when he wasn't an amazing man. And lots of the qualities I do like about myself are also from my dad's side. So it's easier now because I don't see it as black and white anymore. And siding with my mom always made me feel like if my mom is a victim, then my father is an evil person, like he's a bad person. But understanding his own upbringing, which is another part of healing trauma, is to go beyond the action and always try to understand the cause and to see the full domino effect of trauma, because trauma doesn't just sprung from nothing. It's caused by the lives that are even before we are born. And so there is like a seed of trauma planted that just is multiplied, that just keeps multiplying unless somebody in that lineage or family or circle, community starts to stand up towards that, call it out, identify the cause, identify how we can stop reproducing it or ignoring it, or even participating in it. Realizing that took some time, and obviously, like, once you start realizing that, it makes it a bit easier to digest your own trauma and to see the scars, but also understand that they're healing instead of like triggers for more trauma or an invitation for more trauma. And speaking of that invitation to more trauma, there is like this notion of calling women relating to their father figures as having daddy issues. And lacking a father figure for me has also transcended beyond just having a biological father. I think in the way I see family, if you have followed me on Ubuntu May, I talk a lot about how we also need to decolonize our concept of family and to understand that a family is not in the Eurocentric perspective of the biological father, the biological mother, and then a little fence around them, and that's the ideal family. But family is everybody you come into contact with, everybody that loves you, everybody that cares for you. Sometimes you might even have friends that are more like family than your blood relatives. So to expand your idea of family also helps you not overplay into those quote-unquote lacks in our community that are common, like not having a father, not having a present mom because they're always working. But you realize, okay, maybe I didn't have a mom, but did I have a motherly figure? Maybe you had a big sister, maybe you had an aunt, a neighbor, maybe you had a father, or like you had an uncle, maybe you had a best friend, maybe you had a cousin. Anybody who then takes on that role, do not illegitimize it because it's not delivered to you in the context that we understand in the Eurocentric perspective, because that is you also contributing to your own trauma, I feel, by devaluing the pieces of your community that actually can make up for that lack that you need to grow, right? I mean, is it better to have that from your own family, from your own biological parents? Of course. But I knew that, okay, since I didn't, I wasn't going to then take on, I don't know, the crusade of being a girl that grows up with daddy issues and just live with that my whole life. I knew that I had other male figures around me that loved and cared for me, and I took whatever they could give me and I gave it to that little girl who needed that fatherly figure. And even the males, like, of course, like, the male figures are important, but sometimes you might even find women that can help you relate or fill up the bucket within you that needed the masculine energy, right? So it's all about being aware and of trying to supply yourself with the things you needed, regardless of where you are in life and how you got there, rather than feeling stuck because you were born in a context that does not fit the standard mold. Because then your health and wellness and your belonging will always be dictated by what is considered normal and healthy, whereas it takes away the agency that you have over your own life and the empowerment you can have over your life by saying, okay, these are the cards I was dealt with, but this is how I'm going to play them to make sure I get a good foundation from where I am, from where I'm starting. And this is what I'm going to do better to make sure my next generation has more of that. That's it. That's all you have to do, right? So going back to that, I think learning to love myself and realizing, like I said, I couldn't love myself without having a better relationship with my idea of black masculinity was quite important. Interestingly enough, last year, the social enterprise I founded with my friends in Copenhagen, our second exhibition was on the subject of black masculinity. And this was such a beautiful event because it was hosted by three women. Me and my friend, we have a third person, but she was on a break last year, who are part of this social enterprise, like focused on culture and showing diversity, creating community through art. So hearing and holding space for black men was an uneasy feeling for many black women. And even when we decided on that topic, when we decided on that theme, it wasn't from a place of, well, duh, we love black men. It was a place of, there is something there that we need to highlight by building community around it. And a lot of our exhibitions, we want them to be like that when we do continue in the future, to come from a place of curiosity, a place of wanting to build a thriving and healthy community. So creating an exhibition, highlighting and focusing on black men was also a healing practice, was also a healing experience, because we got to hear and create a platform for black men where we got to see them as their vulnerable self. It wasn't the black men on the street. It wasn't the black men in your family who played a certain role. We put them on stage because as part of our exhibition, we always try to end it with a dialogue. And we always say dialogue because it's not a debate. We're not interested in having arguments over arguments. It's quite important for me also, especially, that this is an open space, a safe space where I want to understand you so I can understand what I feel about you, so I can understand what I have misunderstood about you. And so in that sense, I feel it was quite important that we put a panel of black men and we ask the audience to open up with questions about what do you want to know about a black man, and to know and to let them know that obviously they were in a safe space and this was a place with intention for healing, with intention for community building. Not whose fault is it, but How do we understand the faults that we have shared together? And I thought that was such a healing experience that was almost like a magnification what I have been experiencing in my relationship with my own partner, Taina, who for me was also somebody who helped me relate a lot to how I take on experiences with Black men or even men in general, because he played a huge part in showing me the beauty of masculinity, in showing me the beauty of having a man that's vulnerable and the pain that goes into healing a man and having a man heal himself, and the fact that we need each other to heal. And you need to learn certain things like boundaries, standing your ground, not being codependent, in order to allow space for your partner or the men in your life also to heal. Self-responsibility, self-accountability, and that goes for both partners, but also a willingness and an intention to create a harmonious interaction, a harmonious way of coexisting with each other. You cannot speak about Black power or Black healing, Black community, if you do not care about the individuals in that community being healthy people. That will never happen. We need healthy people in order for us to create healthy communities. So my journey towards that has been intentionally throwing myself in situations that, yes, were uncomfortable, that, yes, were challenging, and they were challenging my own ignorance at times that had played into telling certain stories that reinforced the pain of my childhood, having a father that was absent, having a father that when he was present, I was filled with tension and anxiety or fear of him and my mom fighting, and the violence outbursts that made my childhood feel very unsafe, that made every moment feel like it had to be calculated. And then on top of that, like growing up and experiencing sexual abuse, which was also from a close family member, my uncle, and having him also be a male figure in my life. And then like the greatest male figures in my life, like dying at a young age, like my most favorite and closest friend growing up was my big brother. Even though he died at 7, he played such a huge role in my life and how I am trying to keep space for Black boyhood, Black manhood because of him and his honor. And then on the other side, I had my grandfather, who was the gentlest soul. and he was a very beautiful man who was quite grounded, was really aware of minding his mind. My mom used to tell me that my grandma would always be annoyed by my grandfather because he was a very zen person, and he always found a way to stay calm, stay collected. But in a world where panic was how people survived, they saw that as a sort of weakness in that community. And so in a way that would annoy my grandmother, but seeing him now and reflecting on him years later after he passed and seeing how that is a part of me that I am really like eager to embrace, like that soft, calm, strong and grounded masculine energy that is in my veins because of the DNA we share, that is a part of me. Like there is so much more to love about the masculine side of us. And by connecting to it, we also try to see our men differently. We see our brothers differently. The first time, like, I could walk on the street and see a Black man and feel such softness towards him. And by softness, I just mean tenderness that is void of sexual tension or anything like that, just from a platonic love, like, just, I love you. Like, that, for me, showed that I had started my healing, because it's quite easy for me to feel that for women, for friends, for close, for siblings, like that softness of I love you, I want to protect you, I want to be there for you. But when I started being able to feel that for men as well, Black men, that for me showed a huge growth, because for a while there I couldn't even look Black men in the eye without feeling a sense of discomfort. I felt safer around white men, to be quite honest. And it's quite easy to end up feeling like that in a white society where white men are glorified, where white men have technically never hurt you, maybe systematically, the systems they belong to and benefit from, but like Personally, the only black men that have touched and violated your flesh or your spirit have been the ones in your family, right? So it's quite hard to relate to just bluntly hating black men now, when I do also understand the traces of them in my own being. Because to hate them in essence then would be to hate myself, right? So when we go back to holistic healing, holistic living and awareness, those are the things I also try to be quite aware of, is even if I do have animosity towards something, I never shame myself for the animosity, but I also always try to leave a door open for the animosity to transform into something else, to evolve into something else, something that can create more harmony for me and my being and the relationship that animosity might be in. Like, all that can only first come from making an effort to understand myself, making an effort to trying and understand my existence. And basically, like, that's what I wanted to share today. I really felt inspired to talk about that. And just, I hope that that gets you thinking about your own experiences with black men and your own experiences with black members in your family and how that has affected you. But also learning that it's not something you can shoo away into the closet of your life, but open the closet, face the trauma, face the pain. Of course, maybe do it in a safe space. If you need to get help through a psychology, do that. If you need somebody like me, like who's a holistic life coach, to do that, do that. If you need a friend, if you need a family member to go through those emotions, those experiences, do that. But whatever you do, do not try to pretend they're not a big deal, or to try it and pretend you're over it if they are still manifesting in your life and like holding you back in some way, because they don't allow you to live a full and grounded life when you are trying to hold on to joy and bitterness and anger and shame and fear, you know. So like I say, to love black men is to learn to love ourselves. And I know that this is me growing, because just maybe even 5-6 years ago, saying that, I'd be like, ugh, no. I'm still too heavy in my hate to go beyond that. But when you realize that hate is only living in you and affecting you, and that's not helping anybody, and you might actually miss out on an opportunity like we did at the exhibition, when we had a panel of 5 beautiful black men who were willing to be vulnerable and answer honestly all the questions we had. When you do that, you realize that, wow, there is so much that you could have learned. There is so much that we could create with each other. There's so much that we don't understand about each other. There's so much where it's he said, she said kind of relationship, rather than, hey, brother, what's happening for you? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going through what you're going through? I'm not here to judge you or place blame. I want to understand how we can move forward from this together, stronger and better. Like, I feel like just opening that up for other people, especially people who are an important part of our communities, is in a way also doing yourself a favor, the male DNA in your body a favor, giving it redemption, a second chance. But just to remember that you are not just female, even if you're a woman. Maybe I'm talking to some men as well who have anger towards the males in their lives, and they're trying maybe to move forward from that by thinking that anger is justified. It's never unjustified. But I think it's always important also to ask, is it serving me? And if it's not, what can I do about it? What would serve me better than this, right? That's all I'm going to say for this podcast. I really hope that it got you to think about some things. I like podcasts in a free form because it lets me collect my ideas, but they're not too rigid, and I like being able to flow with my train of thought. I hope that you enjoy them too. Thank you for listening to the podcast and supporting it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out here or on our website, bloombabybloom.com. Also, please feel free to send any questions through our website concerning your own journey towards holistic living and healing. and I'll be more than happy to answer your questions and help. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.